Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I am Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. If it's the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is your best opportunity to call and speak directly with us right here at Basic Gospel. We want you to do that, and you can do so right now at 844-322-2742. Of course, that's good in the U.S. and Canada, as always. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, everybody wants to know if they're right in God's sight, and we're always just looking at our actions, looking at our thoughts, looking at what's going on the inside, and wondering, what does God think about that? Well, there's, you know, the Word of God is probably pretty clear on a lot of things that go through our heads and a lot of our actions. The Bible would call it sin. But what does God think of me? And that's the real question. And that's where we have to turn to Jesus Christ. Anyone who has turned to Jesus Christ, something has happened to you. Mm-hmm. You have been born again. You've crossed over from death to life. And you have received a gift. That gift is life, but it's also the gift of righteousness. Well, what does this gift declare about you? It declares that you are right in God's sight, that you are in right standing with Him. So that's kind of a legal way of looking at righteousness, that you are just all good with Him. He's okay with you. You're okay with Him. But even more, this gift of righteousness is something that He's imparted to you. So He's credited it to your account, but He's also imparted it to you in the person of Jesus Christ. So His righteousness is now coursing through your spiritual veins. So you stand in the very righteousness of God. And that's what Paul was talking about in his letter to Philippians when we studied this last Friday in our teaching edition. But I think it's so important for us to really understand that we have been given the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's not something that we've earned through good works. It's not something that we've earned through obedience to the law. It's this gift that God has given us in Jesus. So Paul says this, and this is Philippians 3, starting in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord." So Paul was a pretty cool dude. I mean, he was a with-it guy as far as Judaism was concerned. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was zealous for Judaism. He persecuted the church to show his zeal. I mean, as far as the law was concerned, he was faultless. So he was kind of a big deal as far as Judaism was concerned, but he counted that all lost for the sake of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ as his very Lord, his very life. And it's for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or garbage in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And here's the good news: not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So in this gospel, there is a righteousness that has been revealed by God apart from the law.
Yes.
And so Paul was trying to stand in a righteousness that came to him through obedience to the law. And yet he counted that as loss for the sake of standing in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So, believer, you have the righteousness of Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for you on your behalf, so that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. So not only has God credited your account with Jesus's righteousness, he's given you his very righteousness as a part of your new identity in Christ Jesus. It's part of you as a new creation in the Lord. So that's good news.
It is good
so
news.
So stand in that righteousness. Rest in that righteousness. When the accuser comes and accuses you of every sort of thing, when your mind accuses you based on what you're thinking, based on maybe what you've done, remember that you've received the gift of God's righteousness, something that came to you apart from the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is assurance. This is something that will give you a solid foundation to stand upon in your Christian walk.
And this is the good news that you hear every day from Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're here to hear this good news today. We'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast. If you're hearing the live broadcast at about 5 minutes after 3 Central Time, well, you're hearing 844-322-2742 is the number to call. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had a couple of calls that came in over the weekend. Let's listen to one of those right now.
Yes, gentlemen, this is Mark calling from Vancouver, Canada. My question is, inasmuch that Mary obviously had a sinful nature, that is the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a sinful nature, as every other human being does, how was it that Jesus was able to not have a sinful nature when his mother had a sinful nature? So please answer that if you would. Thank you.
That was from Mark.
Well, Mark, thank you for that question. It really is a good question. And the way God gets around it is the fact that this babe, Jesus Christ, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Mary's was simply a borrowed womb. She had found favor in the sight of God. She made herself available to God, and God conceived Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So that is how he bypassed any sin being given to Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. The Catholic doctrine says that that Mary was immaculately conceived, and that this sin nature didn't enter into her at birth. Somehow she was protected from that. Well, that's just their tradition. The Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God declares that Mary was like all of us, that she was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ was her Savior, just like he's my Savior and your Savior. So how did God get around that? He conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he was from God from the very get-go. He just inhabited that womb, and then he was birthed into this world, and that's how it came about. So she was a virgin. That was necessary. That is not something that we can just put up for grabs, that it's not important. It is vitally important. The fact that Mary was a virgin means that the seed of man could not bring about birth, and that would have made Jesus a sinner like all of us. But since he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that makes him sinless in every way, shape, and form.
Mark, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. And friends, when you give to support this message you hear every day on Basic Gospel, well, you have a part in touching lives here at home and around the world. And I think you agree, this Basic Gospel message needs to keep going, reaching out as far and wide as possible, telling the story of the good news of Jesus Christ and the love, grace, and life that we have in him, changing lives. We're now in the final days of October, of course, and we ask your help as we need to keep the bills paid and keep the message going by make your October gift today if you possibly can. Just click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And to say thank you for standing with us, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths to Help You Grow in God's Love and Grace. To just click donate at Basic Gospel right now, basicgospel.net, to make your gift.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yvette is watching us on YouTube, and she has a follow-up question about the virgin birth. Said, but I thought Jesus was the Holy Spirit. How can she get pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Well, one, that's a mystery. That's something that is beyond our you know, our finite minds. We can't fully grasp how all that happens. Mm-hmm. That's a God thing. God brought it about. God made it happen. So we have to take that by faith. We have to take the facts as revealed to us in the Word of God. Fact number one is that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Fact number two is that she was a virgin. She had never had intercourse with a man. Fact number three, the Bible says that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we have God in three persons. We have a singular God manifesting himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We call that the incarnation. And so this Jesus of Nazareth, who was fully God and fully human, that's a mystery in and of itself. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he was used as part of his role to bring about the birth of Christ, to conceive the Jesus Christ himself. And that's what he did. But it was this babe that was born in a manger that grew up to be Jesus the Messiah, the one who died physically to take away our sins, and the one who was raised physically so that you and I could have everlasting life. Jesus was not a figment of our imagination. He wasn't just a spirit being. He put upon himself flesh and blood. Yeah. And it was this human baby that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And those are the facts. Now, we can try to enter into those and try to find out a little bit more of how that happened, but I think that's beyond human comprehension. Yeah. So, Yvette, hope that helps. Yes. Thank you.
Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us, everybody. Again, plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. And, Bob, we had this call also that came in off hours.
Hi, guys. This is Kobe from Salem, Oregon. My question is, where do the dinosaurs fit in all this? We were created over 5,000 years ago. It doesn't mention anything about dinosaurs, you know, and scientists that they were created or they were here a billion years ago. So just kind of curious, if Earth was created 5,000 years ago, where did the dinosaurs fit into it? Because there's nothing mentioned in Scripture about that. Yeah. I really hope you guys can answer my question. God bless you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Kobe, thanks for asking that. Dinosaurs do pose a real problem as far as the Bible is concerned. It's something that is brought up time and time and time again. Where do they fit in? Do they fit in? Do we see dinosaurs in the Bible? Now, here's an interesting fact. The word dinosaur didn't come into being until around 1841. So it wasn't in any vocabulary. It wasn't in any language before 1841. And so it's a Latin phrase that really means big lizard or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and I may have that a little bit wrong, but we kind of get the gist of it. And so we have these fossils. The people are finding fossils in various places. Most of these things are, you know, just a single bone or a single, you know, part of a big animal. And so they're trying to piece them together and create maybe what they would look like. Some of it we're not 100% sure. I think they found some pretty whole beings that they can put together. But all of that kind of raises some questions. So should we follow the evolutionary path and believe that the world is billions of years old, and that these dinosaurs lived during the Jurassic period, some 65 million or so years ago, and that we're just now finding these fossils and being able to figure out what they're all about? Or do we follow the Bible, follow the creation story? And I think it's important for us to really pay attention to what the Word of God has to say. And the Word says that God spoke and this world came into being. The universe came into being. And all of the animals and the living creatures, including mankind, we were created on day six. So dinosaurs would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we predate dinosaurs, look at them in years and years and years ago, we start to have to ask the question about death. And sin came in, and that's when death became a part of the experience. Before that, this world was created in a pristine form. There was no sin in this world. There was just life. Life was everywhere. But then sin entered in, and with sin came death. Those two are coupled together, sin and death. So if we look before, if we put anything before the creation story, then where did that death come from, and how does that fit in with the biblical narrative? So there's lots of issues. So a couple of things that we need to recognize. One is that the word dinosaur is a modern invention. It's something that came into the vocabulary, became a part of our common language in the 1800s, around 1841. So we're not going to see that in the Bible. We might see things like in the book of Job, where it talks about a behemoth. Some would say, well, that's just a big elephant. Well, when you read the description, it doesn't really match.
No.
So could that be a dinosaur? Sure. Quite possibly.
There's evidence literally in various areas of the world in cave drawings that show large animals being hunted by people with spears.
Yes.
And so there's pretty good evidence that dinosaurs were contemporary with man, or vice versa.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the flood that we read about in Genesis 6 really kind of answers a lot of those questions. How did all of that happen? How do we find these different fossils, and how do we find fossils of dinosaurs and other beings together in the same layers?
Yeah.
That just, you know, all there's a lot of questions.
Sure.
So here's what we know. Evolution, for evolution to work, and this was the first fact I ever learned in college biology. It's the very first chapter of my college, my biology 101 textbook is about evolution and the fact geologists, at about the same time that Darwin proposed his theory of evolution, they started bringing into the mix the possibility that the world was older than what we first thought. And so with that added time, that possibility of added time, the theory of evolution found a place. It anchored itself in those geological thoughts about the age of the Earth. Now, that has just opened up all kinds of things for this theory of evolution. But I think as more and more people in the upper echelons of science really dig in and look at the evidence, they're starting to conclude that evolution can't work.
Right.
It is an impossible theory to carry out, and that's all it is a theory. So there has to be something else that has brought mankind to where we are today, and that something else is God himself. So dinosaurs, if we're finding these fossils, then they're going to be a part of the creation story.
Yes.
And I think that's where we just have to come down on and believe that as more and more evidence is gathered, that it's going to prove what we're reading in the Word of God.
Kobe, it's an interesting discussion, and thank you for generating that the topic. It is very interesting
to
look at those things.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
It is basic gospel, everybody. And, you know, there's another way that we can look at things, and that is you can build your maturity, and we can also help you to aid your understanding of God's grace And we invite you to visit our online store in order to accomplish that. And you'll find it under resources at basicgospel.net. And there you'll find a growing list of materials to help begin. And that's under resources at basicgospel.net. Also, we invite you to join the Basic Gospel live video stream each day from either YouTube or Facebook. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Just click either of those links a minute or so before 3 p.m. Central Time and join us live inside the studio. We would love to see you if we could, but you can see us. Again, 844-322-2742. A little bit of time left on the clock. We want to hear from you. Well, we had this question from Morgan, Bob. She views on YouTube, and hi, Morgan, to you. She says, is it okay to have someone help you who is not a believer, and should a believer get involved in yoga?
Well, some good questions, Morgan, and thanks for bringing those to the table. I mean, if you're looking for spiritual answers to spiritual problems, you want a spiritual person to help you, somebody that is a believer. And I think the Psalms talk about that. Why seek the counsel of the ungodly? Right. How are they going to speak in to your life when you're a believer? So as far as spiritual things are concerned, I think you want to get help from a believer in Christ Jesus. If you're swimming and something happens and you're drowning, you don't care what that lifeguard is. You don't care if he's a Christian or an atheist. If he can save you, man, you're open to being saved from drowning by a lifeguard. There's other things as well that we can get help from people who are knowledgeable, who are experts in those particular fields. So that's where you need to have some discernment, some spiritual discernment as far as the problems that you're encountering and kind of what is the nature of the solution that is needed. Mm-hmm. If it's spiritual, go to somebody that is in the Lord. If it's, financial, you know, it would be much better to have a Christian financial advisor, somebody that could help you along that line, but it's not absolutely necessary. But have some discernment, and in all things, you want people with a sense of integrity, a sense of trustworthiness, somebody that you can count on.
Absolutely. Well, Morgan, thanks for that question. We had this question also, Bob, via email from Victoria. I'm currently taking a Bible study from a well-known woman teacher through my church. In the video, she admonishes grace-filled believers to, quote, be careful. You are saved by faith, but the works you do will tell. The works you will point you to that faith. End quote. She takes what James has in the scripture, which is clearly pointing out that he was not even aware to preach grace, much less understand it. Her lectures clearly are saying that we need to heed James regarding faith by works. I take the book to be taken just as it is written, a letter written to Jews just a few years after Christ ascended. These Jews weren't yet truly divorced from the law. What can I learn from a grace-filled position from such a study?
Well, works are always going to be sourced by God himself. I mean, that's the whole point of the New Testament. That's the whole point of this gospel message. We receive his life. His life is now our life. We live in him. And as we live in him, then his life flows through us. So we have these works that are prepared for us, mm-hmm. and that we just walk in. That's just part of our abiding or living in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not that we have to manufacture those works. It's not any of those things. It's just a byproduct of our faith. And I think all James was saying there is faith is not a static word. It's not a mental assent to a set of facts. Mm-hmm. It is a living, dynamic reality. So this whole gospel message is about life. Jesus Christ came that we might have life. We experience that life by grace through faith. There's the dynamic. And so as we're abiding in Christ, trusting Christ, living by faith in Christ, we see that that's a living, dynamic that spells itself out in our human experience.
Well, very quickly, friends, only a couple of days remaining in October. We need your help to end the month on an even keel. So you can go to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. We want you to partner with us. We want you to have the blessing of standing with us month by month. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.